What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs lose a tough one to the Orlando Magic. One of the reasons why I like watching the Magic will be discussed, as well as some injury news. And luckily, this is good injury news for the first time in a long time. And it'll lead to certain interesting lineups that the Warriors can deploy for the first time all season. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to be joined by Wes Goldberg momentarily. He was at the Orlando Magic Golden State Warriors game. Another tough loss for the Dubs. A couple of things to be taken away from that game that he and I will get to in just a minute. But It's tough to watch these games that come down to the wire. And even though a loss, you can find the silver lining in a loss with the draft lottery odds. Still sucks. Still tough to deal with. But what are you going to do? What we're going to do is holler at our boy Wes, who is there in Orlando and going on to Atlanta tomorrow. I can't believe the travel that these beat writers do, because they're not traveling charter like our boys on the Warriors. They're doing it a little bit differently. Wes, what is up, man? You are there in Orlando right now. I assume you haven't left yet for Atlanta tomorrow. You saw tonight's game up close and personal. My two main takeaways were good to see Glenn Robinson bounce back, and this team, as it's currently constructed with the injuries, just lacks a closer, just lacks someone who can take over in that last minute or so. What did you see up close and personal?
Well, with Glenn, yeah, really good for him to bounce back, especially on a night where his two-year-old daughter was in the stands for the first time this season. So nice little story, especially as a writer, to be able to include that. But overall, I agree with you. I mean, this has been an issue for the Warriors whenever D'Angelo Russell has been out, and especially after Steph Curry broke his hand in the fourth game of the season. Who closes games for them? We don't know. We saw it be Eric Paschal at times. But tonight I thought it was interesting that they executed a play really well. And the play that they executed was an inbound pass. They inbound the pass to Glenn Robinson. Glenn gives it, passes it back to Alec Burks, who Burks was coming off of a pin down screen from Draymond Green. It looked very classic Steve Kerr era Warriors, right? And Burks had a good look at the rim. I thought, I was actually surprised it didn't go in. It looked good leaving his hand. It just bounced off the back of the iron, and they didn't, and you know, obviously the Warriors ended up losing. But to me, the takeaway was that they pretty much played well enough to win. But and getting in that open, that final open shot that could have potentially been a game winner, it doesn't go in, unfortunately for them. But that's going to be the situations that the Warriors are in. They're like, even when they play well enough to win, everything's going to have to go right for them to win games against the Magic team that isn't all that good in the first place.
No, definitely not. And I personally love the story of Glenn's daughter being there, not just writers, man. I'm a sap for that kind of stuff. So that's awesome. But also, one thing that I wonder is, and I hate to kind of talk about it like this just because it's such a one-off, but technically, the way I see it, it's almost better to lose these games when you don't have D'Angelo Russell, because when you do, or when you don't have Steph or whoever, any of the injured guys, will make it better or easier to win, because once those guys do come back, there are going to be some wins, and you're more likely to win a game like this with D'Angelo Russell. When you don't have him, you probably should lose this game, but I do agree with you, that was a great look for Alec Burks at the end, which he missed. But I also was wondering, you know, would you rather just see it in one of the young guys' hands? Where would you rather see, I mean, I don't know who, Paschal maybe, even though his jumper isn't really that great.
Yeah.
Bowman maybe. Or is it partially also, hey, you know, Alec Burks just knocked down a three to win the game. Make an offer.
Yeah, I think, and look, I think you can basically come up with a reason why you would want any of the players on the floor to thrive, right? Whether or not it's Kai Bowman just developing, getting Jordan Poole some confidence, and getting Alec Burks' trade value up a little bit. I mean, you could come up with a real reason for any of these guys. So if you're Steve Kerr, why overthink it? Just draw up the best play you think you could do. Obviously, you're going to try to go out and win that game anyway. So, I think you could come up with a real reason, and I don't think there's any reason to overthink it.
That's a good point. Exactly. If one of the young guys makes it, great confidence, showcase other players, whatever. Yeah, you can spin it any way possible. One thing we looked at, and you've been tweeting about and talking about as well, is Draymond Green. Over the last three games, he's played 23, 19, and 24 minutes. And they're obviously, I think you tweeted out as well that he's questionable for the Hawks game, or is he actually out for the Hawks game?
He's out. Yeah,
he's out. So no more back-to-backs, at least for now. Is this something you see continuing when, say, D'Angelo Russell comes back? And eventually, again, we don't know about Clay and Steph, so I mean, maybe we'll kick that can down the road. But we do know D'Angelo Russell is going to come back. Do you think that will continue once he comes back as well?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I know, you know, when, if you have D'Angelo Russell back and you have some opportunity to win games late, maybe you loosen up the minutes restriction. It seems to be set at 24 minutes right now. Maybe you loosen that up. You play somewhere in the high 20s. Maybe just doesn't exceed 30 minutes a game, right? But the reason really why you're doing this with Draymond Green is he's dealt with injuries to his heel, to his thumb, to his arm, to his back. I mean, to all these things within like the first couple months of the season. You know, you don't want to wear this guy out for a season that everybody's already agreed you're pivoting towards player development. So why, you know, put some unnecessary miles on Draymond Green when you could just sort of rest him? I think that we'll see the pattern of him sitting with second night of back-to-backs continue. I think we'll see a general minutes restriction for him, even if it's not as tight as 24 minutes, as they just kind of go through the year, you know, holding tight and just saying, you know what, we're playing for next year anyway. Let's not put any additional wear and tear that's unnecessary.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. I mean, I'm all for
it. Yeah, makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. Let's spend the entire year trying to get you back to 100% for next year. But I also, something that I've noticed, that he wasn't, or it didn't seem like he was taking to his new role on this team or position on this team as veteran leader slash coach earlier in the year, to where it does seem like he's starting to really feel that role, that position that he's in now of being the mentor to these young guys and trying to teach them. And at least it looks like he's enjoying it. That's me from far away, at least. I mean, are you seeing some similar things like that from him as well?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it was funny. He had those two games, those back-to-back games where he basically said, we bleeping suck, right? And then he was just negative. We suck. I mean, he kept talking about, we need to get better. He keeps talking about that. Very, very negative, you know, just in general. And then one day, he got positive. Mm-hmm. He completely just, like, flipped his whole script. And it wouldn't shock me, and this is just me guessing, right? I haven't asked around enough about this, but it wouldn't shock me if somebody pulled him aside, maybe even Steve Kerr, pulled him aside. I'm like, look, man, like, you've got to adjust your expectations with the rest of us, because if you don't, you're going to be even more miserable than you are now, right? And so just pragmatically, that makes sense. And it wouldn't shock me if that happened. He's been really positive ever since a very negative start to the season. He does seem to be embracing it. Today after the game, he said he's enjoying it, that it's an adjustment for him, because he used to be a leader, but he was never like the veteran leader, right? Yeah. I mean, Steph Curry is older than him, right? Like, he's only 29 years old. We forget about that. He's not even yet 30. And he is now cast as this veteran for the first time in his career. And it's been an adjustment for him, but something that he struggled with early and has taken to a lot better recently.
And it doesn't seem contrived or anything, at least from my stance. It looks like he is, you know, legitimately enjoying it and trying to do the you know, right.
That I disagree with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think he's enjoying any of this at all.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I really don't.
Again, that's just me from far away. So yeah,
I know. I think there are parts of this that he likes. I think there are there's players that he's impressed with. There's young guys that I think he's impressed with. I think he's challenging himself in a new way, strange as it may sound, to be that veteran leader. So I think those are the things that he, you know, those little details that he probably enjoys. But like macro scale, like no way. He's still probably miserable. He still probably thinks they bleeping suck, right?
Yeah.
Like this guy, you can just see that he's champing at the bit right now to just be on a playoff team again. Like he is so ready for that. I guess that's the rest of it I have to say. I mean, the guy is just like, I don't know. Like he's not used to this.
No. I mean, dude, he hasn't lost since. I don't know what his high school record was, but he wasn't losing at Michigan State. Never missed the playoffs in the NBA, so no question, it's an adjustment. Steve Kerr is also a guy I'd put in that same category, as I didn't think he was maybe giving out the right message at the beginning of the year, but mm-hmm. I think he's doing a much better job at this point as well.
And he actually seems to be enjoying it. I don't think that is contrived. For years and years, he was just managing egos. He was trying to fit Kevin Durant into a ready-built scheme that he built, right, in the first place with Steph and Clay and Draymond. And that's hard. And I think that wore on him after a while. And I think this step back and this ability to do something that he's never done in his coaching career ever, which is teach young players how to play basketball at the NBA level. He's never really had an opportunity to do that. I mean, they've had young players in the past, the Quinn Cooks and the Jordan Bells, and stuff like that. But if we're being honest with you, it wasn't his job to get those guys up and running. It was the G League's job. It was the player development coach's job. It was the assistant coach's job. Like, it wasn't his job. And now it really is his job. I mean, he is the guy now running practices structured for young players as opposed to running practices structured for veteran superstar players. And just that dynamic completely changes the way you go about coaching and go about just formulating a regular season. I mean, they're practicing more than ever. They're going through their shoot-arounds are longer than they were last season. It's completely changed the way he's approached the job, and I think really he's enjoying it because as a coach you want to teach, and that's just not something he did a whole lot of the last 5 years.
Definitely. There was some injury updates and a great performance. Great's probably strong. I don't want to oversell, but a good performance in the Orlando game, and I want to talk about both those things in just a minute. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. That's audible.com/LOCKEDONNBA. You're listening on the go. If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all the other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. So, Wes, we mentioned that Glenn Robinson had a nice bounce back game, and you were on this earlier than I was. Now, I'm not sure how it'll be tough to keep him, I think. We'll see what happens with free agency and everything like that. But you were on it earlier than I was, where you saw that he could probably fit with the rest of this team, with Steph and Clay and Draymond and D'Angelo Russell, whoever it may be. And I'm starting to see that more and more and agree with you more and more that this guy would be a very solid role player for the Dubs to have. But also, it was just good to see him bounce back from an 0-10 game against Miami. Do you see anything past just his performance on the floor as to why he fits in so well? Like, why does it seem like he would be a good fit with this team moving forward?
I think he's just sort of level-headed. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, this isn't, not to keep throwing this guy under the bus, but this is not a Jordan Poole situation, right? Like, he goes 0-10 in Miami. Worst shooting performance, his worst game period of the season so far. But, you know, I was talking to him after the game, and I was like, you know, what happened? Like, how were you able to kind of bounce back? And he said Steve Kerr pulled him aside after the Miami game, said, dude, throw this game away. Don't worry about it. You've been our most consistent player all season, and just really propped him up. And the relationship that he has with Steve Kerr, I think, is really strong and got pretty strong really early. I remember talking to him within, like, the first week. Actually, it might have been preseason that I'm thinking about it. And he just loves Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
So that relationship is already there. And Steve, you know, vice versa, same thing. So there tends to be an understanding there. I think Glenn Robinson, because of his level-headedness, because of his just natural abilities as a 3-and-D type of player, is the sort of player that Steve Kerr wants to have on this roster, both from a personality and a skill set perspective. So it makes a lot of sense. And then you combine the fact that he, you know, they'll have to re-sign him this summer, but he's not going to be that expensive, right? I know that he's having like 19-point games here and 12-point games there, but I think generally people understand that it's because the Warriors are so banged up, and I don't think anybody's going to come out and offer him $8 million a season.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance that he would even take a discount to stay in Golden State. It wouldn't shock me if that were the case.
Exactly.
So you combine all that with if you put Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and all these healthy guys on the floor, you're asking Glenn Robinson to go from guarding maybe the best opposing perimeter player to maybe the second or third best opposing perimeter player. That's going to make his defense even better than it has been. You give him even better open shots because he's playing next to D'Angelo Russell and Steph and Klay more consistently. Well, then now those shots are going to go in a little bit more than they are already this season. So I think his game overall will open up and improve when he's playing next to better players. And those are exactly the players that the Warriors are going to want to keep around.
Yeah. And you mentioned, his relationship with Steve Kerr. And that's another thing that we've heard a lot about is just how Steve Kerr is getting along with basically every single player on this team. And it kind of fits him perfectly as to where he'd been managing egos before. Now he's trying to build confidence in young guys and, nurture them and rub them up and get them out there. Like Amari Spellman, Glenn Robinson, Willie Cauley-Stein's even raved about him. So it is an interesting, much different situation that he's still well built for is Steve Kerr.
And you could argue he's doing his best coaching job of his career right now.
I would agree.
Considering the obstacles and everything, like to be able to build these relationships and sort of build habits and things as quickly as he's done and understand. And I don't think it could be overlooked how important it was for him to come out and say early on in the season, this is a rebuilding year. We're playing for next year because it establishes new expectations. It takes a lot of the pressure off of a bunch of young guys who probably aren't used to this sort of pressure in the first place. I think it was a really pragmatic approach. I think it was a really smart sort of mind game to play on his own team and on himself too, and on the veterans like Draymond Green, who we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So, I think it was just the messaging has been consistent. His approach has been consistent. And it's just been really impressive.
They did give some injury updates, which, are a daily thing now. Alan Smailagić is down in the G League, which I was somewhat surprised by, but I guess it makes sense. They're pretty stacked at the center spot and, the power forward, so I get it. But we got an update on Kevon Looney. It looks like we're going to get our second Kevon Looney sighting of the season in this game against Atlanta.
Yeah, he's scheduled to play Monday in Atlanta. He's going to he's going to get treatment from the training staff Monday morning, first thing. They're going to make a final decision at that point, but he is scheduled to play against Atlanta. So you lose Draymond Green for one game, but you add Kevon Looney, and then maybe you're able to have, 11 guys healthy going forward.
Yeah.
And then in Chicago and Charlotte, you could still be getting guys back. D'Angelo Russell, who's with the team right now, Jacob Evans with the team right now, they both are expected to play in one of those final road games of this road trip.
There you go. That was the thing. Look, Jordan Poole had another bad game. The opposite of Glenn Robinson, who went from bad game to good game. Jordan Poole had his best game and now another 0-for game. But even when he went down earlier tonight or in last night's game, even as though he's not playing well, that's just another body loss. So it's going to be a good thing to get some of these guys back. I wanted to talk about Kevon Looney real quick and his return because Amari Spellman is a guy who I've just been incredibly impressed and surprised by. And one of the things that he's done damn well, and we'll see if he can continue throughout the entire season, is he's top 10 in offensive rebounding percentage right now. You factor in Kevon Looney, who finished last year top 10 in offensive rebounding percentage, and the fact Amari Spellman can stretch the floor, there could be times where we're looking at those two on the floor at the same time together, and that'd be a dominant offensive rebounding duo. And also, a lot of these things I'm looking at with an eye towards next year, where if you have those two out there with Steph and Klay and maybe D'Angelo Russell, like those extra possessions are just that much more valuable.
And it's funny that you brought that up. I asked Steve Kerr about that earlier today. I was like, do you envision playing Spellman next to Looney when he comes back? And he said, yeah, I do. And you look at what Spellman has done, hovering most of the season around 260 pounds. He said he was doing that because he had to play center. He was playing five. He didn't want to get – his original goal was to get down to 245. And then he was losing weight. I think he lost almost 30, 40 pounds and then just stopped at 260. And so when I asked him, he's like, it's because I'm playing center. I thought I was going to be playing power forward when you asked me, in the preseason what I wanted to get down to. So but within the last week, I would say, as Kevon Looney's return started to get closer and closer and ramp up a little bit, He's lost even more weight.
Yeah.
And so I would say he's probably right around 240, 245 right now. And I think it's because him and the coaching staff and everybody are preparing to move him more towards power forward. And by the way, he's been playing power forward a whole bunch with Marquise Chris. They've been playing this two big lineup. Mm-hmm. So that's been helpful. So you swap out Chris for some Kevon Looney minutes, and now you're playing Looney and Spellman at the four. We could see Marquise Chris even playing some four after playing mostly the five this season too. So there's going to be a lot of mix and matching of the bigs.
Yeah.
And which is rare because this is typically a team that made going small in fashion. They're going to be playing big because they have to, because if you look at this roster, like, what is it? Like 6 of the 10 guys they have available are going to be front court players.
Yeah.
Like more than half the team is going to be forwards. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, no question. And I'm looking at the offensive rebounding. It doesn't fix their defensive rebounding problems, but at the very least they have the potential for a dominant front court, getting after those O boards, which they haven't had it before, so definitely something I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to Kevon Looney coming back. Looking forward to getting D'Angelo Russell and Jacob Evans back, because Jacob Evans, it's been a while, but we'll see. Wes, you need to run, man. Appreciate you calling in late in Orlando, and I will talk to you tomorrow following Hawks game, which 300 points more or less combined. What do you think?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Talk to you later, man. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Wes had to run again. The life of a beat reporter sounds absolutely insane. I know that I would not be built for it. Only so many are. So appreciate talking to Wes. Obviously, he'll be back with a recap on the Hawks game. But I want to do a little preview for the Hawks game tonight. And also, I want to talk about I enjoyed watching the Orlando game. Because, and again, this is just pure speculation on my part. Don't take any of this too seriously or anything like that. But you can all do the same as well. With the potential D'Angelo Russell trade that we've known about ever since they traded for the signing trade happened with Kevin Durant, that they might be looking to move him eventually. So if you go through teams that need a point guard and need a primary scorer, Orlando is one of them. So I've always enjoyed watching Orlando. I like a lot of the players they have. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's one of the teams that I follow and have followed closely for a while. I've always liked Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, a lot of those guys. And when it comes to D'Angelo Russell, is it a potential landing spot? Just out of the fact that they need a point guard and need a scorer, sure. But there has been no talk about it at all. It's similar to the T-Wolves. Could the T-Wolves use D'Angelo Russell and showed interest in him before? Yeah, definitely. Does that mean that's where he's gone? No, it doesn't. So that's part of why I enjoy watching Orlando. But as far as tonight's game with the Hawks, like I was joking about 300 points. Man, the Hawks are atrocious defensively. And the Warriors, even though they have improved, are still bad. And we all get to watch Trae Young go off and do his Steph Curry impersonation and actually just watch the entire Atlanta Hawks team do their Golden State Warriors impersonation, which, don't get me wrong, is entertaining. They are a good young team. So it'll be a nice matchup between the Warriors and the Hawks, because I wouldn't say they're evenly matched. It just depends how you look at it. They're not evenly matched because I think the Hawks have more young talent, but the Warriors also have a couple veterans throw in here and there, yada, yada, yada. Kai Bowman and Trae Young will be interesting. Not that Kai's going to shut them down or anything, but we know Kai's a ferocious defender, similar size. So that'll be a good one to watch. Jordan Poole, his health. Obviously, Kevon Looney playing. Just the fact that we're most likely going to see him play. The final decision will be made before the game, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see it. And look out for that Kevon Looney, Amari Spellman front court. Like I said, two top 10 offensive rebounding percentage players on the floor at the same time. And, it's more valuable when Steph and Clay and D'Angelo Russell are all healthy, but it's still valuable on a team that that needs as many shots as they can get. So keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.